Amen, amen. Just had church. That was amazing, man. Jesus. The Lord had put on my heart. Actually, you know what? Let's just pray. Let's just press in. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Father. We worship you, God. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for children that we get to raise in the ways of the Lord. You know, I just pray. I just impart grace. Just from the Father, I just impart grace today on parents with young children. I just pray strength and grace to just continue to raise up and to train and equip our children in the ways of the Lord. And I just pray for extraordinary strength, just supernatural strength, to just come upon you in every area of your life. In Jesus' name. I do have a word that's on my heart, and I know the Lord is kind of bringing me into a teaching season and just teaching. But I was kind of kidding with Adam beforehand, like even with like just the music behind me, like it always wants to just pull me into this prophetic place, and so there's a tension in me. But I think today, I might just let the Lord lead me in that, because last week during worship, there was a few things that the Lord was showing me, and I'm so encouraged because it happened again today. You realize that every time we gather together, so the Lord is bringing reformation to our foundation, okay? What I mean by that is that there's been fire that has tested the structure of a thing. Now, when I say a thing, I mean the structure of our nation's government, the structure of how we do church, the structure of how you go to the store, the structure of family interactions. You go to eat, it's a different, the fire has been testing the structure. And we can clearly see that in everything. Now, the fire is going to be testing the foundation. And so he's bringing us deeper. Because things don't just go wrong, they start wrong. And so the Lord is restoring even to the foundation of our nation. There's fire coming to the foundation of this thing. And not that the structure was ever wrong per se in our individual lives, but we've put things in our foundation that actually were for structural building. The Lord is encouraging us that he's bringing us back to the simplicity of the word. The three-part series that I was going to teach about is just the word itself. The word in the beginning as our foundation, the word that becomes flesh and dwelt amongst us, and the word in the end and how it's our final authority, and how we use this, how we apply the word to our everyday life. And it was last week that the Lord started to deal with me on some things that no longer are we going to be able to come and consider what is holy common. No longer are we going to be able to come as a fellowship and consider this just a common thing to do. This is a holy thing that we get to do. We get to come in fellowship with one another. And because we are so close and we've been doing it for so long, some of the holy things have become common things. And the Lord is wanting to bring a fire to that. He's wanting to purify this. And today, even during worship, I mean, I could hear a chorus in the throne room of heaven singing along with us the praises of the declarations that we made. He's a miracle worker. This is who God is. And no longer there's a voice that's partnering with us, and we're partnering with this voice from the throne room of heaven. It's a holy thing. It's a holy thing that we do communion every single Sunday. It's not a birthday cake celebration. This is a holy moment. And he's bringing a fire to purify the foundations that we stop calling holy things common. And I'm telling you what, if we had ears to hear this morning in worship, what was taking place, man, there was a river. Listen, Kenny has said it, and we had a prophetic thing the other night going, and there's a river that flows up here, you guys. And it's full of fire and water. It is full. Listen, the other day on our Thursday, I just encourage you to come to a prophetic night or come to a prayer meeting. The Lord speaks to us in such a confirming way. I think in the prophetic, there's just so much confirmation after confirmation right now. But we still need eyes to see and ears to hear. Even though it's so much and it's right here in our face, these confirming things, we still need eyes to see and ears to hear. And the Lord tells me, and I didn't say this, but he says, as the Middle East was known and is known for oil, America will be known for water and fire. And I was just listening to a prophetic word released by Lana Vosser, and she says that she has this vision of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah standing over the continent of the United States. And she says that America will be known for fire and water. And it's this purifying, but these wells of revival, it's these wells of times of refreshing. It said, you know, repent therefore and be converted so that times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Right here, up in this sanctuary, there is a river that is mingled with fire and water. It's a holy thing. It's a holy thing. We've just got to become aware to no longer come. We need to come even with anticipation, man. If you've come to church every Sunday just because it's what you've done every Sunday, come up higher. Come up higher. I want to encourage you to come up a little higher because it's a holy thing. The structure has been tested. You see, like, we didn't meet for a while. How we did church was tested, but we were tested to see how much we could be trusted. That's the amazing thing about the test. It really is just to try to find out how much can you really be trusted with the things of God. Have you endured the test? And even if we don't get it right, he's a good father, and he allows us to go through it again. And my dad has the answers. I'm guaranteed to pass as long as I don't quit. And so in our testing, he's just trying to see how much we could be trusted because there's new wine coming, and he's not going to pour new wine into old wineskin. So no longer could we just say the common things are just common things, they're holy things. And even with just that perspective, even with just that twist, we become to enter into a new wineskin. Because we're no longer just coming and just going through the motions any longer. We're realizing this is God showing up. This is God showing up on this worship team. You know, this is God. They're opening a door for us to step into a place to where we are now partnering with all of heaven, all the saints of all the ages, worshiping the King of Glory. That's what they're doing every Sunday, and there's an anointing on them. There's a freshness on what they're doing. And if we can see it as no longer just a common thing, as a holy thing, not only will they open the door, but will usher in the glory and the presence. The King himself desires to come and fellowship with us. It's a holy thing. The word that is being preached, that's actually the growing anointing on Rick, is that he no longer is considering these things common. Whether it's the a word about America, and even just in the book he read the other day, man, you know, he mentioned about the Mayflower, what was the compact, was 400 years ago, what, November? This was a foundational thing that took place. And when he was saying it, I realized, wow, it was 400 years from the time that Malachi says his last thing to us that we see John the Baptist and Jesus being ushered in. You realize that we went 400 years without a prophetic voice in the earth. 400 years where it's not common. This is a holy thing that God is doing. Things are lining up in the spirit. And if we could discern the times and the seasons, we'll see, wow, man, we are being in alignment for our assignment. We could stop trying to strive to find out what our purpose is. And when we yield ourselves, listen, the Bible says that you will have many teachers and few fathers. What Rick was sharing this morning, man, that blessed me so much, but I believe that there's a mystery, and this is the prophetic part. This is not what I wanted to share today, but it's relevant, so I'm going to share this. I had a dream I had a dream, and in this dream, there were two fathers of the faith, and if I said who they were, everybody would know who they were. And I was coming off this, I wasn't on the platform, but I knew I was at this prophetic conference, and there was a young guy who comes off the platform, and we're walking back to the green room, and I grab him by the shoulder, and I say, and he turns around and looks at me, and I said, "Man, would you talk to your wife that way?" And he was this prophetic voice in the earth that was, man, like coming against the bride, right? He was like speaking and just tearing her apart. And I spun him around. I said, "Man, would you talk to your wife that way?" And he got really angry at me. And we went to this back room. We walk into the back room and there's these two fathers sitting on a love seat. Two-person seat. And they're sitting on this love seat and their heads are back. And I could see that they are weeping hot tears. They're crying. The heart of God is being birthed in them. Now, I could see that they're in intercession. I could see that there's a dialogue going on between them and the Father. And we come in and we get down on our knees. And I knew that there was an impartation that needed to take place. I knew that they were carrying something as fathers in the faith that we needed as sons in the faith. But it wasn't going to be something that was just going to be communicated. It needed to be caught in the Spirit. I needed to be in the Spirit just as much as they were to catch what it was that they were interceding for. And I realized something. The Lord began to speak this word to me, that the hearts of the fathers have been turned towards the sons. And I believe that God is actually waiting for the hearts of the sons to be turned towards the fathers so that he can pour out his glory. God isn't going to just, see, the sons are still trying to do their own thing. We're still trying to, mass. I wanted to fill stadiums. You know, like that was by now. If you would have asked me even 5 years ago, man, I would have been, the whole Middle East would have been saved if you could have. And this is what the Lord said to me. He says, "Man, will you lay that down to become a mouthpiece?" And I was like, "Wow, Lord, I don't know what that even means." But I said yes to it. I said yes to it. Now, whether or not I still reach the nations or not, I'm not sure. But I knew I needed something. I knew I needed something first, and it was this, the heart of this man right here. Because he carries the heart of the Father. What it cost me the thing that I actually thought I was called to, right? I mean, you want to talk about laying your life down, letting it cost you everything, but I knew there was a mystery tucked away. And if the very last thing that we're told in the Old Testament was that the hearts of the fathers to be turned towards the sons and the hearts of the sons to the hearts of the fathers, lest I strike your nation. If we want America blessed, I think that what God is actually waiting for is the hearts of the sons to be turned towards the fathers. And I thought I would miss all of this. I had a fear of missing out greater than anybody I ever come across. But what I realized was if I'm actually ever going to get to this place, I needed this. I needed to take up the heart of the Father that was in my life. Because he carries something. He carries a generational blessing. He carries things that will sustain me while I'm still walking out my call. I didn't lose anything. I gained everything by laying it down. I actually gained it all because I chose to lay it down. Listen to what Paul tells Timothy. This is in Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 10. We want America blessed. I think it starts with us realizing that us as sons need to turn our hearts to the fathers. Listen to this. "But you, Timothy, have closely followed my example." Now, this is Paul writing to Timothy in this passage of Scripture. "You have followed my example in the truth that I have imparted to you. You have molded your life after the love and endurance I have demonstrated in my ministry by not giving up." Point one. The faith that I have. Now, this is Paul again saying the faith that I had, this is out of the Passion, you now have. "What I have hungered for in life has now become your longing as well." Can you start to see this relationship of a father and a son is much more than like coming home and just getting fed, although it's coming home and getting fed. It's, man, it's taking up the heart and the life of those who have gone on before us. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob wouldn't be Jacob if he didn't have Abraham and Isaac. But he took up that vision. He took up that calling. And it's not to say that we all need to stop doing whatever it is that we're called to do, but get the heart of the Father in it first. Listen to this. In the same verse 11, in the same persecutions and difficulties I have endured, you have also endured. Yes, you know all about what I had to suffer while in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. You are aware of all the persecutions I endured there. Yet the Lord delivered me from every single one of them. For all who chose to live passionately and faithfully as worshipers of Jesus, the Anointed One, will also experience persecution. We want America blessed. It's almost like, how much do we want to see God return to America? Sons, lay down your life. Take up the heart and the vision and the passion of the fathers who have gone on before you, naturally and spiritually. This is what I find. There's a mystery. There's a power release. Let me tell you something. I actually feel that I'm more in place with where and what I'm called to than if I was running around the nation doing whatever. I actually feel that I'm fulfilling the call on my life to a greater degree right now in this place this morning than what I thought I would have been doing. And I think it's just because I said, yes, Lord, you know what? If that is to come, you can have this. But right now, and I was told by a prophet friend of mine who has become a prophetic father to me, and he's like, man, just go home and serve your pastor. Just go home and serve your pastor. When I came home, I asked God to give me his heart for Rick and his heart for FOTB. And now my eyes just begin to, they're being opened. I'm hearing what God is saying over this people, over this region. Just because I just chose to lay this down and say yes to this. And if this is the Lord, it'll happen. I'm not gonna have to try to make this happen. But we could stop striving to try to get our purpose fulfilled when we just come into an alignment with our assignments. And it starts with just getting, grasping in the spirit. It's not even like I ever came to Rick and said, hey, man, I need you to tell me what your heart and your vision is. No, man, I just got up in the spirit and asked the Lord to give me his heart, and he did. We want to see America blessed. What was going to keep me from that actually is selfishness. And selfishness, do you know what the teachings of the satanic Bible actually are? They don't worship Satan, they worship self. It exalts self above everything else. Do what's best for you. And selfishness destroys, see, it's a double-edged sword, selfishness, because it leaves you, it brings you out of the character and the nature of Christ to get something you want while hurting, while other people around you are actually lacking. So selfishness not only just hurts you because you're coming out of the character and the nature of Christ, but it's hurting those around you because now it seems like you're putting your needs, and here's the root of selfishness. My heart actually breaks for those who are in selfishness because you're all about yourself because nobody ever was. You understand? That's a deep wound. And when you understand it that way, man, there's just compassion that comes on you because these people are striving to get something, to go somewhere, to obtain something. And they're all about themselves because no one ever was. Doesn't make it right, but man, this is ultimately the other doctrine. This is the doctrine of demons when we begin to pursue after what's best for us. That's why Jesus says, man, deny yourself. Take up my cross and follow me. So our following him begins with the laying down of our own life. And this is all foundational things. But if we want to see America turn back to God, I believe that it actually starts with the hearts of the sons being turned back to the fathers. And we're going to find a power and a freshness and an anointing on that that's going to carry us into places that we would have never been able to go and remain there. I don't want to just get down the road somewhere. I want to be able to get down the road somewhere and have everything that I need to be able to steward the blessings in the presence of God when I get there. And it starts with grabbing the hearts of the fathers who have gone on before us. God's going to bring a fire to our foundation, and we get to be encouraged. We get to encourage one another in this. The amazing thing about the Lord is that he's always moving us towards the thing he's already spoke and he's already done. And we get to find that in the Word, right? It's a lamp unto your feet. It's a light unto your path. God is constantly moving us. It seems like we've lost ground, but He's actually moving us closer into our destiny as a country, as a people. He's always moving us towards what He's already said. But if we don't know what He said, we're probably not going to know where we're going. He's bringing us back to this foundation. We get to hold each other accountable from this point on. When we begin to, you know, say or believing a lie somewhere, the Word is truth. The Word is truth. And not only do we get to say, hey, this is the lie, but then we also get to show them in the Scriptures, man, this is what the Bible actually says about this. And it gets to be the thing that gets rooted up and plucked out, and now we get to build and plant. And not that the things that you have believed are wrong or... listen, it's going to be our devotional time. The fire is going to be put to... We've put a lot of trust in what other people have said. We've built... We've put things that belong structurally on the foundation, right? Podcasts and other teachers and these things, they're amazing, but they're for structure. They're not for foundation. This is the Word of God as foundation. This is what we get to build upon, and the fire is coming to this. You know, we're going to do this. We're going to turn to Psalms 19:7. And I do want to pray for anybody that has anything specifically that you need prayer for. I want to take a moment, and even after this, and I want to just take a moment to set our hearts. Kurt, thank you for communion today, man, as far as just leading us into repentance. And I want to read this here to us. Verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting or restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." I have a little breakdown explanation here in my Bible that reads this. The law of the Lord is perfect, in direct reference to the absolute, complete, and entire trustworthiness of the Holy Scriptures. One of the reasons you want to know why it's holy is because it tells the whole story. We can't read about David's life and not see his failures and his shortcomings, or Moses, why he struck the rock. Like, you know, you ask us, hey, man, what happened in a certain situation? Well, you get my point of view, you get their point of view, and then, like, the real thing. The Bible partly is holy because it tells the whole story. We get to read all of this, and what makes us think that our lives won't be read the same way? There's a great cloud of witnesses, even right now, that is looking in and peering in on our lives. Our whole life is being sawn. Two terms to generally use to describe these features of God's Word is, one is inerrant, meaning perfect. The original copies of each manuscript written by each Bible book's respective author, there was nothing mistaken or tinged with error. Further, the excellence of the Holy Spirit's protection of the Scriptures over centuries has ensured that the copies delivered into our hands from generations past are essentially the same. The second definition is infallible. It refers to the fact that the Bible is unfailing as an absolutely trustworthy guide for our faith, our belief in God, and practice. This is so because God is so true. I'm sorry. This is so God is so true because His Word reveals the truth. He is His Word, and His Word is truth. I'm going to read here verse 8 through 13. "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much more than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servants are warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgressions." And so to end, I kind of want to just pray that verse 12 and 13 over us, and for us to just set our hearts, if we know that there's areas of our life, and here's the great thing about this is that when we repent and we bring these things before the Lord, when the fire comes to test these things, when the fire comes to try these things, we don't have to endure a process. It is simple repentance that enables these things to be lifted up and rooted up out of our hearts. So if there's things on your foundation that you know that you've been struggling with, secret sin, selfishness, listen, if you know that selfishness is something that you really struggle with, we can no longer afford to have selfish ambition, selfish desires, even selfish thought life, because we can't move forward while partnering with doctrines of demons. It's going to be us denying ourselves. It is truly going to bring us into an area where the sons are able to turn our hearts to the fathers. So I want to read this over us, just set your hearts to the Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we want to see our land blessed. Lord, and if the very last thing that was told to us in the Old Testament, this was the last thing that was said, that the hearts of the fathers be turned towards the sons, and the hearts of the sons turned towards the fathers. And I believe that in doing that, we will see the King of Glory come. So Lord, I just pray even right now that we as sons would just lay down our dreams, our desires, trusting you that if they are from you, that you will see them come to pass. But Lord, that we willingly say that we want the hearts of the fathers who have gone on before us. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that we would just come into repentance. Lord, we actually give you permission right now to show us areas of our life, the foundation in which we've built our faith in you, Lord. We give you permission to come and to reveal any areas that you know that you need to touch today, God. God, you're bringing reformation to our foundation. Jesus. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. So, Father, we thank you that your Spirit is always so kind and so gentle, Lord, to reveal these things to us. And as a body and as a people, Lord, you know our heart cry that we love this nation. We want to see revival in this nation, Lord. We declare that America shall be saved. And, Lord, let it start right now today with the hearts of the fathers being turned towards the sons. And the hearts of the sons turned towards the fathers. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Lord, I pray that you would just deal with a root of selfishness in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, we bless you. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you for this amazing dedication of Silas. Lord, we thank you for Katie and Corwin's life and their family's life, Lord, to just continue to pour into their children. God, bless them. And I just bless you guys with just the strength of the Lord in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for a river mingled with fire and water. Lord, just continue to show us how to treat holy things as holy things. Yeah. Yeah. We love you and we give you all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.